You for this opportunity that we can come and feast at your table. We can feast from your word. Now we pray, God, that you make the food alive for our souls, alive for our hearts, so that we may continue to see your goodness and we may continue to bless your name. So may you please awaken our hearts to your word, O Heavenly Father. We thank you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Greetings once again, church. Today's sermon is from Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 to 31. In this passage, Paul is giving us a gospel interpretation to the famous Old Testament story of Abraham and his two wives, Hagar and Sarah, and their two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. From this story, the sermon is going to answer three questions that are crucial to us who proclaim to be children of God. That is the purpose of this sermon, to answer three questions that are crucial to us who proclaim to be the children of God. The first question, the first question is, are you a legitimate child of God? And the second question is, I don't know what's happening with the slide. And the second question is, what is wrong with living under the law? That will be the second question. And the final question is, what is good with living under the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So these are the three questions that we are going to answer from this passage, Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 to 31. The story of Ishmael and Isaac is confronting each one of us with the question, are you a legitimate child? Sorry, I don't know what is happening here. Yes. It is confronting us with this question. Are you a legitimate child of God? Both Ishmael and Isaac were biological children of Abraham. I don't know whether I should stand somewhere else or... Yeah, it's on. Okay, let's see again. Yeah. Okay, sorry. So as I was saying, both Ishmael and Isaac were biological children of Abraham, but they were born from two different women. Ishmael was born from a slave woman, Hagar. But Isaac, he was born from a free woman, Sarah. That is the story that we read in Genesis chapter 16 and chapter 21. Okay. Then Ishmael, who was born from the slave woman, Ishmael was born in the ordinary way. What do we mean by saying he was born in the ordinary way? Hagar was still in a childbearing age when she gave birth to Ishmael. So there was nothing complicated with the birth of Ishmael. But for Isaac, he was born in a supernatural way. How old was Abraham when he got Isaac? He was 100 years old. Just imagine. And how old was Sarah? He was 90 years old. So this was a supernatural birth. In verse 29, we see that it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And on top of that, Sarah was barren. She could not conceive. But God made a miracle. So Isaac was born in a supernatural way. And also, Ishmael was born according to the plan of Sarah and Abraham. Let us read that plan quickly in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. I'll quickly read. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, 'The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal." So we can see that that was a man-made plan. A plan between Sarah and Abraham. Because they were advancing in years. So Ishmael was born according to the plan of Sarah and Abraham. But Isaac was born according to the promise of God. Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised." What did the Lord do? He did exactly what he had promised. "She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time God had said it would be." So we see the difference once again. Isaac was born according to the promise of God. And for that reason, Ishmael was considered by God an illegitimate child of Abraham. Because he was born according to the plan of Sarah and Abraham. So he was considered illegitimate. What about Isaac? Isaac was considered a legitimate child. And for that reason, Ishmael had no rights to inheritance. He was legitimate biologically, but when it comes to inheritance, Ishmael was considered illegitimate, though he was 14 years older than Isaac. And according to their customs, the firstborn was supposed to inherit the wealth from his father. But God said, no, Ishmael is an illegitimate child. But Isaac, he had full rights to inheritance. So this is the story in a nutshell. And the question remains, are you a legitimate child of God? Brothers and sisters, the everlasting plan of salvation is that through Jesus Christ, the promise that God gave to Abraham and Sarah is applicable to all of us who truly believe in God. This is the way of salvation. The way in which people are reconciled back to God. When Jesus came, he took us back to the plan that God had. The promise that he made with Abraham and Sarah. So it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that we too become the children of the promise that God gave to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. This is what the word says. "And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham." And Paul at this time is talking particularly to Gentile believers. People who are not related to Abraham biologically. But he's saying because you belong to Jesus Christ, you are now the true children of Abraham. In Genesis, who was the true child of Abraham? It was Isaac. So those who belong to Christ, they are considered the true children, just like Isaac. In verse 26, chapter 3, he says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So it is only the children of the promise who are the legitimate children of God. Do you see the difference? It is not about the plan that Abraham made, that Sarah made with Abraham. It is about the promise of God. Only the children of the promise are considered the legitimate children of God. And faith in Christ Jesus is the only way in which you and I become the children of God. There is no other way in which you and I become the legitimate children of God except by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, as we saw in verse 26, is the determining factor. For you are all children of God. Not because you preach, not because you sing, not because you do good works, but because of your faith in Christ Jesus. So it is only through the man Jesus Christ that we become Isaacs, the legitimate children who have full rights to inheritance. Brothers and sisters, are you truly legitimate children of God? Did you put your faith in Jesus Christ concerning your salvation? Do you and I truly belong to the kingdom of God? I hope we do. I hope we do belong to the kingdom of God. Just like any family, in a family, there are privileges and responsibilities. So in the kingdom of God, the privilege of you being a legitimate child of God is that you inherit and enjoy the blessings of God. We have been talking about this for the past 2-3 weeks. The Abrahamic inheritance, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, everlasting life, holiness, and many other blessings. These blessings are for those that are legitimate children of God. They are not for the Ishmaels. They are for the Isaacs. And we only become legitimate through our faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 30, it says, "Get rid of the slave and the son. Get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. For the son of the slave woman will not share in the inheritance with the free woman's son." If we are not legitimate children of God, this verse applies to us. Get rid of Romeo. He will not share in this inheritance. If we think we are children of God because of any other means apart from faith in Jesus Christ, then Paul is speaking this verse to us. Get rid of Hagar and Ishmael, for the son of the slave woman will not share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Are you a legitimate child of God? It's easy for us in a church setup for all of us to appear as children of God. But this is a personal question. Are you a legitimate child of God? I do not have the authority to come and put a stamp on you and authorize you that you are a legitimate child of God. It is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not the work of anyone, but it is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as I say that in every family there are privileges and responsibilities. When you are a legitimate child of God, you have a responsibility. And the responsibility is that you must live and walk in righteousness with God in your daily life. You must live and walk in righteousness with God. Is it something that is doable? Is it something that we are doing daily? We can only live and walk in righteousness with God by living under His grace, and not by trying to live under the law. It is only when we live under grace, not under the law. But then the question is, what is wrong with living under the law that God has given us? And this brings us to our second question: what is wrong with living under the law? This question applies to us when we have passed the first question: are you a legitimate child of God? If yes, then live in righteousness with God. Right? How? By living under grace, not by living under the law. Perhaps there is a question to say, why can't I live under the law? What is wrong with living under the law? The story of Hagar and Ishmael illustrates to us the authority of the law to enslave us when we try to use it as the means to live and walk in righteousness with God. The law enslaves us. It locks us in its prison. This is what the law does. Sister Grace, she works with the law. People don't go behind bars for no reason. They go there because there is a law. Do not do this, and they do that, and they are locked behind. That's what the law does. It enslaves us. If there is no law like do not kill, there will be no one behind the bars. But because there is the law, right? That is why some people are behind the bars. Let us read verse 24 and verse 25. Verse 24 and verse 25, chapter 4. It says, these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. What did they receive? They received the law that enslaved them. Then in verse 25, and now the earthly Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. She and her children live in slavery to the law. That's what the law does. Hagar and Ishmael are representing people in bondage to the law. They are representing people who are enslaved to the law. The law exposes the sin in me. That is its purpose, to expose sin. Romeo, do not gossip. That is the law. But it cannot free me from gossiping, because that is not its purpose. So the more I try in my power to live and walk rightly with God by not gossiping, is the more I am in bondage to gossip. So I live in bondage to the law and in bondage to my sin of gossiping. Family, the purpose of the law is never to save, to set people free. That is not the purpose of the law. It is never to set people free. Its purpose is to expose your sin and also my sin, and to show us that only faith in the grace of Jesus Christ can set us free. That is the purpose of the law. It leads us to Jesus Christ. It shows us that only faith in the risen Jesus Christ, in his grace, can set us free. So my brothers and sisters, if we persist in living and walking in righteousness by trying to keep the law, then we are the Ishmaelites, the children of the slave woman, Hagar. We are in bondage to the law and to our sins. Today, through this passage, the gospel is inviting us to a better and effective way of daily living and walking in righteousness with God. The way is to live under the grace of Jesus Christ. That is the way. That brings us to our last question. What is good with living under the grace of God? What is good with living under the grace of Jesus Christ? Family, when we live under the grace of Jesus Christ in our daily lives, we are walking in the freedom that Christ gave us. This is the gospel interpretation of Sarah and Isaac, not of Hagar and Ishmael, but of Sarah and Isaac. Verse 26. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. Not the earthly Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman and she is our mother. Not Hagar, but Sarah is our mother. Sarah was a free-born wife of Abraham, meaning that Sarah was the rightful wife of Abraham. Hagar was a maid servant. She was not married to Abraham. But Sarah was a free-born wife of Abraham, and she gave birth to a free-born son, Isaac. She is the mother of all of us who walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. If you are walking in the freedom of Christ Jesus, then you are a child of Sarah. Sarah stands for the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, the congregation of people who live and walk in righteousness with God, but righteousness that comes through faith in the gospel and in the grace of Jesus Christ. These are the people who do not make their own righteousness, but they walk in the righteousness that comes through faith in the grace of Jesus Christ. What is good with living under the grace of Jesus Christ? We do not walk in righteousness by means of our man-made efforts to keep the law. That is not the way. That is not the way that we should do. Rather, as people born by the power of the Holy Spirit, one, the Holy Spirit frees us from bondage to the law and bondage to sin. And two, the Holy Spirit empowers us to obey God's laws, the laws that are enslaving us. Finally, we are able to joyfully and to freely obey the law, yet without being in bondage to the law. I find it very beautiful to say only through the grace of Jesus we are able to obey the law, but without being in bondage to the law. But without Jesus Christ, you obey the law, you become enslaved to the law. And the law cannot set you free. It only condemns you. As I walk my Christian journey as a child of God, the law continues to expose my sin. When we became Christians, when we are eager to serve God, when we say, God, I want to follow you, it does not mean that the law will stop. When you say, now I want to walk in your grace, it does not mean the law will stop its work. No, the law continues to expose the sin in me. It continues to say, Romeo, do not gossip. But then the Holy Spirit, who is renewing my heart, empowers me to stop gossiping. He empowers me to live and walk in victory over the sin of gossiping. So do I need to hate the law? No. I like the law. Why? Because it exposes dark areas in my life that I still need to submit to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. The law is not bad. It is only bad when we misuse it. When we think that we can walk in righteousness with God by obeying the law. The law helps me to identify those dark corners in my life that I still need to bring before God, before the light of God. Friends, we are the children of Sarah. Sarah represents the new covenant of the Spirit, the covenant of Jesus Christ. We are the children of the new covenant. And in this new covenant, God is sprinkling us with clean water so that we become clean. He is washing us from our impurities. He is purifying us from our idols. He took out from us a stony, stubborn heart. Then he gave us a tender, responsive heart. When you look at me, do you think I was born with a responsive heart? No. Perhaps I was stubborn than most of you. But God is at work. He removed that heart that is stubborn, a heart of stone, and he put a heart that is tender, a heart that is responsive to God's word and his grace. When the law says, Romeo, do not gossip, I submit it to Jesus Christ. Help me. I respond. Help me. I cannot do this on my own. That is a responsive heart. God lives in us through his own Spirit. That's amazing. God is in us through his own Spirit. And his Spirit empowers us to do what? To carefully obey God's laws. There's nothing wrong with the law. But the law is not the starting point. The starting point is the grace of Jesus Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit himself, he empowers us to carefully keep his laws. None of us by nature are willing to obey the laws that we are given. None of us. When we say keep quiet, you want to make noise. That's the nature of human beings. Sorry. When you say don't overspeed, the nature in us, the corrupted nature, wants to what? Overcome. To overspeed, right? It can only be the work of the Holy Spirit. In those people that you see a change, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not that they are going to church every Sunday. Yes, it's important because they hear the word of God and they are strengthened. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you are not changing, if there is a particular area in your life that actually, instead of decreasing in sin, you are increasing, you are not submitting it to God. The purpose of the law, again I repeat, is to expose dark areas in my heart and say, bring these areas to the light of the grace of Jesus Christ. And it can be a process. He takes me, he helps me, he empowers me. There's nothing good in us by ourselves. There was even nothing good in Isaac himself. But first, it's just the promise of God and living under the grace of God. And the same Spirit empowers us to daily live and walk in righteousness with God through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, we come back to those three questions. Are you a legitimate child of God? I'm also asking myself, Romeo, are you a legitimate child of God? Or I'm just part of OCC. I'm just part of the Church of God in Namibia. But am I a legitimate child of God? And we saw that legitimate children of God are those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. These are the children of the promise, the true children of Abraham and Sarah. And the second question, what is wrong with living under the law? What is wrong with living under the law? The law cannot set you free. You can ask non-police. The law cannot set you free. It what locks you in a prison. It cannot set you free. But the good thing that it does, it exposes areas that you need to bring before God. That is the purpose of the mirror, right? Before you came to church, you went to the mirror. You are looking for something that is not right. Then you say, okay, I need to do like this, I need to do like this. That is the law. The mirror cannot shape you. It will just show you and say, Romeo, you need to go in the bath. Simple. It will not take me to the bathroom. It will not shower me. It just exposes. That is the law. And the final question, what is good with living under the grace of Jesus Christ? This is the only way in which you and I are able to live daily, walk daily in righteousness with God. This is only the way. Because in this way, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. There are many things that we cannot stop on our own. There are many addictions that we cannot give up in ourselves. We need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what is good. That is what Paul is arguing in this passage. That he's saying in verse 21, tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? The law enslaves, but the grace of God set us free. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence in humility. Father, we do inspection of our hearts. Are we truly legitimate children? If not, help us to come to you and to submit ourselves in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the only Savior that you have given us. And through him, we become your legitimate children. We also thank you for the law that you have given us, which functions for many purposes, including exposing the areas that are still under the authority of the devil. Areas that we need to submit to you. Dark areas that we need to bring to the light of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us that we do not take the law as the means to sustain our relationship with you. For the law can never do that. Instead, it enslaves us. We thank you for the way that you have put in place. And that way is only one way, the way of Jesus Christ. The way of living under his grace. Not living in our own man-made efforts to try to do better. Help us just to come as we are and submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, to his loving and saving grace. And as believers, we take a stand today that we choose to live and walk in righteousness with you, God, not by obeying the law, but by living under the grace of Jesus Christ, in whom his spirit will empower us to carefully obey the laws of God. We thank you, God. If there is anyone among us who is not sure of his salvation, we pray, God, that your spirit may move him or her to do the right thing, to submit his heart or her heart to you, that you are the Savior, and it is only through you that we can live in righteousness. We thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen.